It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Hello, praise the Lord, and welcome to Jesus is the Answer. This is Pastor Peter. I'm going to pray for you and your needs. And I believe that our God is going to supply all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Please call and someone would pray for you and your needs. Our God is doing signs and wonders and miracles. People are getting saved, healed, delivered, and set free. Please call and you will know what I'm saying. Okay, the telephone is busy, line is busy, please call again or leave the message and we'll get back to you. If you're calling from the foreign country, if you are not able to return your call, we will pray for you. But we'll advise you, please send us an email. It's easy for you and for us. Okay, today we are going to look into the last miracle Jesus Christ did in His ministry. As you know, Jesus Christ did so many signs and wonders and miracles. He turned water to wine. He fed thousands of people. And He walked on the water. He calmed the storms. And He did so many miracles. And I see in the Bible, when I read this, and compared with another religious books, not a single miracle what Jesus did is recorded in their Bibles or their holy books. Bible is the only Christian book. I made a mistake telling their Bible. Their books. Our book is the Holy Bible. Jesus did so many miracles, and St. John says, if I start to record everything what Jesus did, there will be no room in the world's libraries. So that means Jesus did so many things. But St. John says, I wrote few things. So you can have faith in Jesus and you should have eternal life. You will see eternal life in Jesus Christ alone. And there is none gives eternal life. Now Jesus' ministry, as I said, started from the beginning until he was arrested. Now, this miracle happened in the Gethsemane. I'm going to give you the Bible scriptures. You can read it to yourself because it is difficult to read all the scriptures. Matthew 26, verses 35 to 46. Mark 14, verses 32 to 50. Luke chapter 22. Verses 36 to 54, and John chapter 18, verses 1 to 13. Now, if you read these chapters, you will get the whole story. Now, I'm going to tell you in details a little bit. Jesus Christ predicted His death and burial and resurrection many times. Not only that, He predicted who is going to betray Him. Jesus had 12 disciples, you read in Matthew chapter 10. Then He selected 70 more disciples, that is recorded Luke chapter 10. But out of all of those disciples, 12 were called apostles. And Judah was one of them. But the Judah was the one going to betray Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ already predicted and told the disciples. Now, Judah was a little bit greedy for money. And he thought, I can sell Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver and Jesus Christ might escape from their hands. Because Jesus Christ many times escaped from the people, from the crowd, when they wanted to push Him from the mountain or try to kill Him many times. So he thought, I can get the money and Jesus will go free. So he can do both things. But he didn't know that Jesus Christ has to die for the mankind. And many times, even though Jesus Christ said to his disciples, I will be killed, and some of the disciples, especially Peter, says, I don't want you to be killed. So Jesus Christ says, get behind me, Satan. Because Jesus wanted to die on the cross of Calvary. Why cross of Calvary? Because when somebody dies on the cross or the tree, they will be cursed. So Jesus wanted to take mankind's curse and bless the mankind. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, it says, Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. So now we see, after the taking Last Supper, everybody were asking, who is going to betray you? Then Judas asked the same thing. Then he said, you are the one. And then he said, go and do whatever you want to do faster. So he left, went to the Pharisees and high priests and told them, I'm going to betray Jesus Christ. I'm going to sell him for 30 pieces of silver. And they said, how are we going to find him in this dark midnight? He said, I know where he goes to prayer. He might be in a Gethsemane praying with his disciples. I know the place. And I'll give the sign that I'm going to kiss him. And then you know that this is the person. And so now these people are coming in the middle of the night to arrest Jesus Christ. Now this time Jesus Christ took his disciples, and some of the selected disciples, he took Peter, James, and John, and he said, let's go and pray. And the word of God says he went a little bit further, the stone throw away distance, and start praying. And the word of God says when he was praying, he was sweating the blood, and the blood drops were dropping on the ground. And he came and talked to his disciples, pray with me so you should not be getting to temptation. Pray for me and pray with me for 1 hour. He did 3 times, but these disciples were very tired, weary, and maybe afraid, and somehow they could not stay awake and they were sleeping. And the word of God says when he was so tired and so weary, he said, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. And so he was very weak. And as you can imagine, when you are bleeding blood like a sweat all over your body, you have very less chances to be alive. So the Jesus Christ was feeling so weak. In the book of Luke said, the angel came and strengthened him. And Jesus Christ prayed as the angel was helping him, because he was kneeling down and praying. So he might be was very weak and tired. So God sent the angel. The point I'm making, if the God sent the angel to support him, to strengthen him and support him to pray, the same God could send the angels to protect him from the enemy's hand. But here he said, Jesus Christ said, now time is up. If you want to sleep, go on sleeping, take your rest. But the time has come and the enemies are here. And so those people came with the sword and all kinds of weapons. And when they came, Jesus Christ asked a simple question, whom you are seeking? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. At that time, when Jesus says, that's me, here I am. And those people, the word of God said, this is in John's gospel, they fell backward. At that time, the disciple had a good chance to chop their necks, because they were falling backward. And Jesus Christ said in earlier to his disciples, if somebody doesn't have the sword, sell their garments and buy one. And the disciple said, we have two swords. He said, that's enough. But here I'm saying, some people will say, Jesus Christ was not teaching violence. And he starts saying, if the enemy hits you on the right cheek, show the another one. And so, why he told them? The word of God says, the prophecy has to be fulfilled. Because they counted him as a in between robbers and sinners. So, only bad people use the sword. But the disciple said, we have two swords, this is, he said, that's enough. And while he was praying, and he was bleeding, and he was saying, Lord, if it is thy will, take this cup away. And I mentioned this in an earlier program. But I want to tell you again, because many people do not understand the prayer of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ prayed in Gethsemane. It is not recorded in any gospel, but is only recorded in the book of Hebrews. How the book of Hebrews writer came to know? I think the Holy Spirit revealed to the writer what Jesus Christ was praying in a Gethsemane. He prayed another prayer. It is in recorded St. John chapter 17. It's a long prayer. But Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7, that prayer is not recorded in any gospel. And what he was praying? The Bible says he prayed to God the Father with a loud voice and with the tears. And what he was praying? He says, I do not want to die. Could you please save me from the death? Now somebody would say, he didn't want to die on the cross. Yes, he wanted to die on the cross. Because the Bible says, Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. And as I said, when he said, I want to die, and one of his disciples said, it should not happen to you, he said, get behind me, Satan. Pilate wanted to release him. He said, you have no authority. I am giving my life, so I have power to take it back. So he was not afraid of dying on the cross. And I already said earlier, why cross? Because he wanted to take your curse and my curse on the cross. But the devil wanted to kill him in the Gethsemane. So here he prayed, Lord, I don't want to die bleeding in this Gethsemane. And if you read that scripture, Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7, the word of God says God heard his prayer because he was righteous and obedient child of God and because he feared God. And God did not allow him to die in the Gethsemane. And that's the time he comes out and this enemy came to arrest him. He asked the simple question, whom you looking for? Who do you want? So they said, we want the Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I am he. I am the Jesus of Nazareth. And they fell backward. And then, as I said earlier, Peter and other disciples' name is not given. There were two people had the sword. In Genesis, we read Jacob's two sons. These two sons went and killed the whole city people, male people. So it was not difficult when the dark time and people are falling on the ground. It's easy to 12 disciples to tie them and kill them. But Peter took the sword when they got up again, and then they asked the same, Jesus asked the same question, and they asked the same answer. We are looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus says, okay, if that's the way it is, and you are looking for me, then let my people go. And the word of God said it has to be fulfilled. So he let them go, and they all left, and Jesus was alone. And then they arrested him, But before arresting, Peter took a sword and cut the ear of the one of the high priest's servant. And his name is given Malchus. And so he did his right ear cut it. So happened he missed his neck. Otherwise, that man's neck would have been chopped and he would have been killed. But there was no problem. Jesus would have given him life. But this was just symbolic that Jesus Christ does miracle. And if these Pharisees and if the chief priests never saw a miracle, they heard it, they saw it, but some of them didn't see it. So this was their last chance to see what Jesus Christ is doing. So here Jesus takes his broken or cut off ear and he puts it back, and the word of God says he touched him and he healed him. You can see the compassion of Jesus Christ. Now just think, this Malchus whose ear got cut off and he started bleeding, there was no doctor to make him cure or stop his blood. He would have been died by bleeding. Jesus Christ wanted to let these people know, I am not your enemy. All these high priests and all these Pharisees, they were Jewish religious people. Jesus came to them. St. John chapter 1 verse 11, it says, he came to his own and they received him not. They did not want part of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to save the mankind. Especially he came to the first time to the children of Israel. He did signs and wonders and miracles. So many things we read in the Bible, and this is the last miracle I'm telling you. And if you count it from beginning to today, I did almost 40 programs. And some of the similar miracle I did not take. I take only one blind man or two blind men, but he healed so many blinds. We will take one lame or two lames, but there were so many lame people. And there were so many different kinds of disease. We learn about the casting of the devils. We saw only few casting devils, example I gave it to you, but there were many. And so, as I said earlier, St. John said, if I record everything, there will be no room to store his books in the world's library. So here we see, Jesus Christ comes in the garden. They came to arrest him and they fell down. Still Jesus Christ did not harm them. And when the one of the disciples cut the ear, he put it back. Then his one of the disciples kisses him and then say, Jesus Christ says, this Judas said first, Master, Master, Jesus says, are you kissing me? And with a friendly kiss, and you betraying me. Still he did not understand. Judah had chance to repent and say, I'm not going to do this. But Jesus didn't say anything. And the people came, arrested him, and Judah watched everything. And when he saw everything, now Jesus is not able to run away from them or escape from this thing. Now he felt guilty. He went back to those Pharisees and those priests, and he says, this is the money of the innocent blood. I want to give this money back. What he was trying to say, please let Jesus go. They said, what we have to do with this? You did it and you will be punished for that. We have nothing to do. He threw the money in, went away. They took this money and bought the potter's field to bury the heathens. Then the Judah goes to the mountain somewhere, ties rope to his neck, and jumps and dies with the stomach open and died. So the point I'm making, Judah has the chance to ask the forgiveness or wait, because in these same chapters, if you read, Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times. Jesus already predicted, but Peter says, no, even though I have to give my life, I will give my life for you. I'm not going to deny. Jesus says, today, tonight, the rooster crows 2 times, you will deny 3 times. So the rooster crow and Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times, but he repented and asked forgiveness, and Peter became one of the great disciples. But the Judah had the chance. Judah died in his sin. Judah didn't get the chance to be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus shed the blood on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. If you read in the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Word of God says, God laid your sin and my sin on Christ. And when he was dying with the agony and pain and suffering, God saw that sin and God turned his face away. And then Jesus says, my God, why thou hast forsaken me? So the point I'm making, Jesus Christ died for you and for me. He even helped his enemies in the last minute. We heard that Lazarus raised from the dead, and those people were so mad instead of getting happy, and they wanted to kill Jesus Christ. So the point I'm making, Jesus died for you and for me. Do you believe that your sin can be forgiven if you ask forgiveness to Jesus Christ? There is no religion can tell you how your sins will be forgiven. They will say, do something. In Hindu religion say karma means do something. Do good deeds or something like that. The Bible says your good works are filthy rags in the sight of God. Only blood of Jesus Christ can sanctify you, cleanse you, wash you with his precious blood. And then you will be sanctified and you will be perfect in the eyes of God. We are all sinners and we need a Savior. Would you like to give your heart to Jesus Christ? Can you call upon Jesus and say, Jesus, please forgive all my sins? Let's do it. I'm going to pray. You pray after me or you pray in your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Touch me, Lord, and heal me for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you really pray from your heart, Jesus Christ has forgiven your sins. Your name is written in heaven. There is no record of sin. If you die today or tomorrow or any time, you will be having boldness to go to heaven, because sinners cannot go to heaven. But only people who are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ and forgiven, those people are called the children of God. So you are a child of God. You are a new creation. Your name is written in heaven. You belong to God. Now what you have to do? You have to start reading the Bible. Now I would advise you to start reading the John's Gospel. When you read the John's Gospel 2 or 3 times, then go and read the John's letters. They are almost in the end of the book. And when you finish those letters at least 2 or 3 times, then you go back to the Matthew and start reading from Matthew to Revelation. I guarantee you, you will never be the same. I have seen people got saved just reading one pamphlet or just reading one scripture. People are getting saved. Now I want to pray for your healing. You gave your heart to Jesus Christ, and if you are still sick, and your relatives are sick, your child is sick, or your wife is sick, or husband is sick, let's pray. Touch someone or touch your body. And I'm going to do the same. I'm going to touch my heart. And I'm going to pray. I believe my God is going to hear my prayer. The Word of God says, In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, two people agree on this earth. God will hear our prayer from heaven. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each and every listener or each and every person who is watching this program. They are touching their bodies. They are touching someone. You are going to touch them, heal them, deliver them, and set them free. And let them know that Jesus Christ is a healer. I commit them into your loving hands. In Jesus' name I pray, and I call it done. Amen and amen. Now, when I say done is done, that's called faith. You have to have the same idea, same faith. Then it's done. How can you know? You can feel it in your body. If you cannot see inside your organs, go to the doctor for checkup. And you will find out that you are completely healed. What I'm trying to say, put Jesus first in your life. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. The time is almost gone. May God richly bless you and use you more and more for his glory. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.